There was a man in the 19th century. His name was Jean-François Gribouillet. A very authoritative French-sounding name. But for some reason, when he came over to the United States, he chose a stage name, Charles Blondin. And then under this stage name, he was a tightrope walker. He was actually very, very famous. His most famous trick or stunt, whatever you would like to call it, was traversing Niagara Falls on a 3-inch wide rope, okay? I am scared of heights above the third rung of a ladder, okay? God made me short for a reason. He knew I'd get sick if I was any taller. But this man would cross the tightrope, and he would do it hundreds of times. And it wasn't just that he would walk from one side and back on this tightrope. He started adding things into it. He crossed it on stilts once. He got into a sack and crossed it on a sack. Now that I would have liked to have seen. I can't do that on flat ground. At one point, he took a chair out there with him, balanced the chair on one leg, and stood up on top of it, halfway out. There's no way. And then to try to one-ump that, at one point, he actually went out there with a little table, balanced two legs on there, and set up a little stove, and prepared an omelet and ate it out there. I would not be hungry. That's one of the few times I would not be interested in eating. One day, he was doing this to this enormous crowd of onlookers who were cheering him on, and he went and he got a wheelbarrow, and he took this wheelbarrow, and he marched it across, and then he marched it back across the tightrope, and the crowd was going wild, and they were cheering for him, like, oh, great, and he says, who believes that I can do this again? And the crowd goes wild, yes, yes, we believe, and then he says, who believes that I can do this with a man in the wheelbarrow? And the crowd goes wild. Yes, we believe that you can do it. And Blondin looks out there and he says, you, sir, do you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow with a man in it across that tightrope? Yes, sir, I believe. He said, good, get in. The man slunk back into the crowd. He believed that Blondin could do it. The crowd believed that Blondin could do it. But nobody had faith to get in that wheelbarrow. There is a dramatic difference between belief and faith. We can believe a lot of things, but belief doesn't require anything of us. Faith does. Now, I think I've used this example before, but I'm going to do it again whenever I say that there's a difference between belief and faith. I believe that this choir bench will support my weight. And I can say that all day, but I don't really have faith in this choir bench until I stand on it. I believed, and now I have faith. I'd have more faith if I didn't weigh this much, but that's another sermon, and Jennifer preaches that one pretty well. So, there is a difference between belief and faith. Belief doesn't require anything of us. Faith does. We, my brothers and sisters, are called to be a people of faith. Faith is an action. It's always an action. It's always something that we do. It's amazing because if you look in Scripture, Jesus is always saying what? Come and follow me. Follow me. Do as I do. He doesn't say, come and hear me out. Come and listen to this well-articulated argument. He says, come and follow me. Come and do as I do. Come and do this. It's an example of life, not a theoretical construct. Many people, I think, confuse this idea that you can just believe in your heart, in your mind, and you're fine. The reality is, many people, in fact, just believe in their mind and not in their heart. Because if you believe in your heart, you are going to change yourself. You're going to act differently. You're going to be different. James, whenever he's... Father Chad, you preached on James last week. Are you going to do it again this week? Yes, every chance I get. James is talking about putting your statements of faith, your statements of belief into action, which is faith. Faith without works is dead. Now, as people who understand that we are saved by grace through faith, we say, well, you know, we can't earn our way into heaven. And that is absolutely correct. None of us can ever earn our way into heaven. However, I do believe we can not work our way out of the kingdom of God. If we are not changing our lives, our attitudes, our mindsets, if we are not going out and loving our neighbors as ourselves, if we are not caring for the least of those who are in our society, my brothers and sisters, we don't have faith. We have a belief system that makes us feel a little more comfortable and perhaps even a little self-righteous. We are called to be people who go out and get dirty for our faith, for the gospel. We are called to get our hands dirty for the sake of Jesus Christ who died for us. We are called to be people who don't just show up on Sunday mornings and then go out and act like nothing in this room ever mattered. We are called to be people who leave this place and truly show the world what it's like to feel the love of God. Now, coming to church does not make you a Christian. Putting money in the collection plate does not make you a Christian. Don't stop doing either, by the way. But, I mean, I can go to a garage and stand in it, right? And that does not make me a mechanic. God, you do not want me working on your car, okay? I can't even replace wiper blades. God help me. Pray for Jennifer. But when we actually live the Christian life, when we actually put what it is that we say into action, we can not only transform ourselves, but we can transform the world, and we can move a little bit closer to thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, what a powerful prayer that is. That's not us asking God to magically come down and do something. That's saying, help us, inspire us, move us to transform the world. I think it's fascinating that in the scriptures we see Jesus healing these two people, the daughter of this Syrophoenician woman, this Gentile, this person who Jesus wasn't even interested in trying to reach at that point in his ministry or in time. And she comes and she begs, and Jesus almost, it seems like, just brushes her aside, which is uncharacteristic for Jesus, but it's almost like he was allowing her the opportunity to make a statement of faith. And she does. And it heals her daughter. It's amazing that the gentleman who had the speech impediment and was deaf was brought to Jesus. He was there with Jesus. He came there. Both times, an answer of prayer occurs because we used faith not as a noun, but as a verb, putting into action and practice what it means to truly understand who Jesus is. You know, back to Blondin, that wheelbarrow. There was only one man there that day that would get in that wheelbarrow. It was his manager. And of course it was his manager, right? He had a lot of money riding on this. He gets in the wheelbarrow, and Blondin takes him back and across. As a matter of fact, he did it again later. He carried his manager on his back and walked across the rope back and forth. It's interesting that Blondin never asked anybody to walk that tightrope alone. Didn't say, here, just cross it and come back and tell me how it went. Says, come with me. Get in the wheelbarrow. Climb on my shoulders. God is not asking us to take this journey of transforming belief into faith by ourselves. God is there with us, pushing us along, carrying us when we need to be. God will always be there with us. God is always caring for us. And God can always move us forward across that tightrope of life. I hope we always remember that we never, never cross those stormy waters alone, but with the one who can calm the seas and the waves and loves us more than we can possibly imagine. Let's walk with Jesus, with God, in our faith, knowing that we never do it alone. Amen.